hard to stay on the right track, or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101, Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for Marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLASLACRRMMDRAHAPAFAIRCMA or any of them that are guys.
Or any of the Anons.
We don't speak for none of them.
We don't speak to nobody.
We don't even speak that well for ourselves.
At all.
As you're about to discover. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelly.
And Mark.
And Shelly's over here busy reading the 12-Step Gazette from 12stepgazette.com.
Yeah. We'll be able to read that later, Shelly.
Yeah, you probably...
Please don't do the word search while we're trying to have a show.
We could be doing a show here.
I am doing the show. I am sitting here.
Close the reading material. Shelly, close the reading material and put it out of your mind.
Well, I have to keep it open to this one page.
Shelly, okay. Did you ever talk on the show about you getting your dream job?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, well, I don't know. I was just checking, just for the bantering purposes.
In fact, I think that was the show you put up before you missed putting up the one last night.
I'll put it up tonight. It will be up. It will be up. I actually had people ask me about it today.
Well, yeah.
Oh, shout out to Vicky K on Facebook.
K.
Okay.
She was chatting with me earlier on Facebook.
Well, no.
What's up?
I want my show. Where's my show?
I told her we'll record it, but it'll be up in a few days. So, well, we could just get right to it then.
Let's do that.
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Okay.
We have awesome Foley skills.
Yeah. Much better.
I think that our first story should be the one we just discovered in the 12th most recent edition of the 12-Step Gazette.
Shout out to Bruce.
12stepgazette.com.
Yeah, shout out to Bruce. He put a story in here on page 25 of the March-April issue. Black Sabbath sobers up for reunion CD.
That's
yay.
Awesome.
Yes. It's their first album together in 35 years. And can you believe it? Ozzy's actually sober.
Good Lord.
I know.
The apocalypse is here.
Yeah.
He's quoted in the story as saying, I have accepted that I have a problem with drugs and alcohol. Well, actually,
really?
He probably said more like, I've accepted I have a problem with
I've
drugs and alcohol.
I have a problem with
drugs. It's a very big stepping stone, you know.
You know.
I'm very lucky that I'm still alive, and I'm also very lucky that I can put two words together.
Sharon!
I wonder how much Sharon had to do with that.
They said it's going to be their most professional album to date, and bassist Geezer Butler is quoted as saying, This is the first time we've done an album together sober.
You know what's funny? His name is Geezer. I wonder how old he is. Because they're all pretty old.
And they're going on tour in April.
Tickets still available.
Didn't Aerosmith try that at one time? All being sober?
Yeah, and actually some of their best music and their only crossover album was when they were sober.
And they're probably their number one.
And the band itself is still sober. They wanted to boot Tyler because he relapsed and couldn't hold it together.
Has he gotten sober again?
You know the only problem with Aerosmith, booting Tyler?
Is that Tyler was Aerosmith.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when they said, we're thinking about booting Steve Tyler, I'm like, what are you going to do after that?
Yeah, who are you going to bring in?
Yeah, who are you going to get? The only guy with lips like him is Mick Jagger, and he's got a gig.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Come on. Come on!
Okay, let's see. Where are we going next?
I heard a really funny thing today. This guy was saying he really loves rock music from back in the day, and he says, but I don't really hear it anymore. And he goes, I got to sing these songs to my kid, like Row, Row, Row the Boat, and The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round. He goes, why aren't, the rock bands doing stuff like that? Like, the wheels on the bus! Go round and round!
Because?
He's one of the guys from Saturday Night Live. It was pretty funny.
Okay, there's, the Killer Death Moth.
Wow.
Holy guacamole, that thing is massive. It's going to dive bomb me. Ah, it's going to kill me.
We could probably down him with
that's
cigar.
Mothra.
We could probably down him with cigar smoke.
Where's Godzilla when you need
him?
Ready? Oh, no.
I don't know where he's at, but we can get
him. Mark, that was pathetic. That was a little tiny puff of smoke.
Okay, well, we have news.
Okay, yes, we have news. Let's move on here while we're waiting to be attacked by Mothra.
We used to do that to bees in Oregon. They'd be flying around the room. We'd start blowing weed smoke at them. They'd be like, just crash. They'd be sitting on the counter, too stoned to go anywhere, wanting some honey really bad.
In Egypt, y'all remember the first, like, the Passover? When the angel of death passed over the houses of those that were painted with the blood of the lamb because they knew that they were the chosen ones.
Yeah.
And there were all the plagues that came along, the frogs and the this and the that. And
There's
actually some scientific evidence to support a lot of that.
Yeah, and it's going on right now. There's a plague of locusts in Egypt that is so bad that people can't even move. Insects have swarmed onto the fields just in time for this year's Passover, right around Cairo in the Giza region.
Giza's region?
Giza.
Oh, Black Sabbath. Their first gig will be in Cairo.
Yes. Residents have been warned they're not supposed to drive away the locusts by themselves because it could create further damage or they could get hurt. I don't know what locusts do to you, but I don't think it would be good.
They could probably eat your clothes off you.
The agriculture minister is quoted. Now, these must be some freaking bombastic locusts, because the agriculture minister is quoted as saying, Egyptian armed forces and border guards are attempting to fight the swarm with all the means at their disposal.
No, flamethrowers work pretty well.
Yeah, those work well.
Border guards, what are they standing at the border, like checking the locust passports or something? I mean,
I saw a show one time years and years and years ago, like National Geographic, and it showed these locusts like hit this, I don't know what it was, a cornfield or something. They like stripped it in like 2 minutes. I mean, just boom, everything was gone. Yeah. They were just eating everything green.
Napalm works well, too, but it destroys the crop.
You know what they need to do? They need to grow a bunch of weed around the outside, and the locusts... Oh, wait, no, that'll give them the munchies. I was going to say locusts will be too stoned to do anything.
They'll be too stoned to do anything, though. They'll be hungry.
They'll be hungry, but they can't get up off the ground.
Exactly. Peyote would be good.
Great. Need a bunch of hallucinating locusts.
Yeah. They'll go eat aluminum siding.
You can try.
Hey, try this.
Here's an unfortunate name story, and I'm assuming...
Is it worse than Early Johnson from the last show?
His name wasn't Early Johnson, it was Early something else.
Yeah, no,
Early Johnson.
It was Early Johnson, the porn guy.
Was it? Oh,
okay. Yeah, the guy with all the porn movies.
All right, well, anyway, this is in near Salt Lake City, it's in Tool.
This is from Brian?
Yes.
Who's Brian?
I don't know.
Oh, isn't he coming out here sometime soon?
Yes, he is, in May.
Okay.
A Catholic school, the St. Marguerite Catholic School, has suspended a principal and a priest at the Catholic school there because they are accused of drinking margaritas in front of the students.
Is that bad?
Well, I don't know. If you go to St. Marguerite Catholic School, wouldn't you kind of
St. Margarita?
Some point somebody's going to drink a margarita?
Margarita.
Margarita.
Now, didn't you say this is unfortunate name?
Well, yeah, because it was margaritas and margaritas.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Got it.
All right, well, anyway. The founder of the school says, things like this come about and give you a bad reputation. It's just unacceptable. Duh.
Yeah. I loved Craig Ferguson's talking about his pastor, and he said he'd get all drunk, and he said a parishioner came to him and said, there's a hobo sleeping out in the cemetery. And he goes, it was me.
Yikes. Let's see. We're going to New York now.
The Big Apple.
Matthew Montegrano, 36 years old.
Sounds a little mafioso-like.
Yes. He was arraigned on Saturday on charges of impersonating a Department of Corrections investigator.
Why?
He was using phony credentials to get into the Manhattan Detention Center, where he then, I'm quoting here, mingled with inmates for hours.
Why?
Well, I don't know, but he did time in that jail before and was released, and this is not the first time that he has used phony credentials to sneak back into the jail. Why are you doing that? It doesn't say in the story.
Taking drugs in there would be my guess.
He has also been caught posing as a Board of Education worker to get into a couple of schools and rifle through the student files.
That's weird.
His rap sheet includes a conviction for sodomy and sexual abuse.
Oh, that's the guy you want going through school records.
He was giving when he broke back into the jail. He was giving cigarettes to inmates and smoking with them in the common area.
Yes, and I guess if he's a Department of Corrections guy, they don't search you when you go in.
No.
Distributing drugs would be my guess.
Possibly. I don't know. In Savannah, Georgia, and, you know, it's being St. Patrick's Day, this is a good story for today.
Okay.
In a very shocking move, is what they're calling it, hundreds of firefighters, including some from New York, and some that flew all the way over from Ireland, because apparently, I didn't know this, but Savannah, Georgia has the second largest St. Patrick's Day parade in the country.
Okay.
All of these hundreds of firefighters have been banned from partaking in the parade, from participating in the parade.
Why?
Because apparently last year they got drunk.
Oh,
isn't that the point?
Yeah, it's the St. Patrick's Day parade. They got drunk.
Isn't that the point?
Yeah, and?
I would think so. But the parade organizers said that they exhibited unseemly behavior. That they were seen to be drinking before the parade started.
No
and
shit.
They just can't have that.
No shit.
At the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Yeah, but were these guys like stripping down and all the chicks on the thing going crazy and, you know,
waving their hose around?
Yeah.
It doesn't say that. It does say that one of the organizers of the parade, I'm quoting here, said, the firefighters were noted to have been drinking before the parade, which must certainly shock people that somebody may be drinking before the St. Patrick's Day parade.
And I had to stop them, but I was drunk.
Yeah. Why would that surprise anybody?
I don't
How's
know.
That, I mean, that's...
Biggest drinking day of the year besides New Year's Eve, and I'm surprised someone was drinking.
Well, the problem is that you've got firefighters that have flown in for this gigantic parade from all over the country
to party.
And from Ireland to party.
Well,
and now they're being banned from it, and a bunch of them have gone home, which means that all those hotel rooms that they were
See,
going to...
See, I thought
to
they just
know.
Headed to the bar. We came here to drink, damn it, we're going to drink.
Yep.
Well, the thing is that they apparently the committee voted on this ban like months ago and didn't inform anybody until this week.
Ow.
Right before the parade.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to fly in from Ireland to find out I'm not welcome.
Right. Yikes.
That's a costly little plane ticket.
More governmental control.
Let's see. We're going back to Salt Lake City.
Hi, Brian.
Yeah.
We're back.
Mohammed Ismail, 27 years old, was arrested for making more than 100 phone calls to 911 in one night, threatening the officers with bodily harm and death.
That's a good idea.
You'd think, how could you even do that? Because you'd think by the time they did, like, the fourth one,
they'd be there.
That they'd already be there.
Yeah, they would have found him. I don't know. Apparently he's done this before. This is not the first time he's been arrested for this.
And
so
was
maybe,
he successful last time, too, with getting arrested?
Yeah. So maybe they figured, you know, the first 50 times he called or whatever, that, oh, God, it's him again.
Is this like suicide by police?
I don't know. Maybe. And let's see. Where am I? I don't know where I am.
Don't do that.
I've lost my place. Oh, no. I accidentally scrolled the wrong way.
Uh-oh.
No.
It's a computer, Shelly.
You
I know.
Scroll
I'm
back.
Scrolling back down.
Scroll down.
Oh, okay. We're going back to New York. To the land
of... Well, so are a bunch of firefighters, apparently.
To the land of Bloomberg and his ridiculous crap. Yeah.
I thought we don't get political on this show, Shelly.
This isn't political. He's just nuts. It doesn't have anything to do with politics. He's banning sugary drinks and You know, nobody can smoke within like a 50-mile radius of the city, and you can't walk your dog, and
so,
you can't do it. And his latest one was.
So what did Mayor Nanny do this week?
Yeah, Mayor Nanny. His latest one is that he's going to form a committee to look into the effects of fluoride in toothpaste and water. The guy is nuts.
You
however,
know what the problem is, he's also a multi-billionaire.
Well, you know, now that he got this whole thing passed about the 16-ounce sodas, nothing can be more than 16 ounces.
Got
except
returned.
For, interestingly enough, the beer.
It got stayed.
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
What I find interesting is that in this whole ban on all these, you know, high-calorie drinks, alcohol was excluded.
Awesome. I'll have a super big gulp.
So you can still get drink a whole pitcher of beer if you want.
So wait, you can get a big gulp of Diet Coke if you add rum to it?
I wonder. Hey. Oh, there's a workaround.
Every alcoholic in the city is like, yes!
So all these businesses, you know, Starbucks, burger joints, 7-Eleven. I mean, everybody has spent all this money adjusting to this new law that's supposed to take effect this week. And the Supreme Court booted it.
Of course they did.
Because it infringes upon people's right to do whatever they like. I mean, that's a
well,
personal liberty
all,
issue.
It's stupid anyway. If you were in any kind of like a McDonald's, you could get whatever size cup you wanted, go up and get refills anyway.
Yes, yeah, so that was part two of his little law. He was about to introduce a new bill to make it illegal to have more than one refill.
Yeah. Mayor Moron.
Okay, yeah. So you get a 16-ounce drink, you get a 20-ounce drink, you go get a refill, now you've had more than a super big gulp anyway, even if you only get one refill. Stop it!
I know.
I think like an alcoholic, so, you know.
Yeah.
And he's wasting taxpayer money doing all of this crap.
Yeah.
If I were a New Yorker right now, I'd be apoplectic.
You know,
for the common man, Shelley?
I don't know. I ain't getting
speechless.
I'm not getting a mayor idiot.
All right, well, that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out. Come on, Shelly.
Welcome back.
To the same old place that Shelly used to laugh about.
We hadn't done it in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I didn't say anything.
No, but you gave the look.
No, I didn't.
Fire shot from her eyes.
Eye sockets.
Whatever. So, we have a topic.
Where'd it come from?
Katie?
Uck.
Uck. Katie from Uck. And she said here that the topic is mature recovery meetings. We're going to call it meetings with time. And she said it came from this. She's got 9 years now, and she likes to be around people with at least 3 years of recovery. And she goes to coffee and suggests and encourages newbies, and she sponsors people and stuff. And she shares relevantly in meetings for them, but more and more feels there's not enough space for the needs of the people that are more mature in recovery. Partly it's a numbers game. You know, meetings are growing and growing, and there used to be a spread of recovery time to absorb it, but now most of the meetings seem full of newbies and serial slippers.
He's reading off of your letter, Katie.
Yes, I am. So the discussion is, Where is the space for mature, recovered people to meet for mutual support and sharing that is not dominated by newer people? You know, with, you know, all this time in the program, does our fellowship need to have something in place for those of longer term sober, or is it elitist and not in the spirit of tradition, selfish, etc.? So, that's a mouthful. What do you think, Shelley? You're getting, you know, you got your foot in the door. You're getting there. You got 6 years.
I don't see why there can't be meetings that specifically address the needs of people that have longer-term sobriety, because those needs are different. You know, I don't, and because there are meetings specifically geared toward the newcomer, why not? There are lots of speaker meetings where you know, in order to speak there, you have to have a certain amount of recovery, a certain time. There's a time requirement.
That's true. A bunch of them.
I mean, I don't, on the face of it, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but then, you know, she brings up the issue. Is it elitist? Kind of. Does it go against the traditions? Only if they're not letting newcomers come in at all. I don't know.
What do you think, Mark? You've got some time.
Well, it's really weird because I was just making a comment a few weeks ago in a meeting that I go to. I go to the meeting. I go there every week. The new people have like 4 years.
Remember the milk and cookies meeting?
Yeah, the new guy's got 9 years.
Yeah.
You know,
where I went, we took the one guy, he had 12 years, and he was like the second newest guy.
Yeah. You were at a meeting with me on Friday night. Tons of time in that room.
Yeah.
Tons of time. There's some new people. But one thing with meetings that I've wondered lately is, whatever happened to when people want to share, they raise their hand and the leader calls on them? Because it's a great way to control who shares in meetings. Now, one guy gets done sharing, people, Southern California people clap, next guy jumps up. My name is Joe Blow from Idaho, and I'm an addict. And start sharing.
I actually did that at that meeting. But the guy had asked if one of the people from out of the area wanted to share, and somebody else jumped in.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I go to meetings where people, for the most part, have a lot of time. And they're CA meetings. And, you know, and everybody shares. You go around the room, everybody shares, and go home. But, I go back to that one speaker that we had that night at the meeting when Shelley was secretary of the big meeting, and the guy said, if you're new, we want to hear from you a little. You know,
nice.
And it's hard to enforce the 3-minute rule, but it should be enforced. And I was talking before the meeting Friday night, and we were talking about people sharing. And I shared about, you know, they said, what would you do if a newcomer was this? I said, tell them to shut the hell up. I use a stronger word than hell, but. And the guy said, oh, I couldn't do that. And I said, I got no problem doing that. He said, well, you could send them back out. I said, they were going anyway.
Yeah, if I can send them out, there's a problem.
If I'm that strong, you know, so. But I don't know how you actually form a meeting, because if we don't have newcomers in the program, eventually the people in your meeting die and nobody new comes in.
I go to a meeting, I haven't been to it lately because I have a commitment at another meeting that night, but there's a meeting called Sick, Lame, and Lazy. It's an AA meeting. My sponsor with 29 years has average time in that meeting. Now, they've got newcomers there as well, and it's a 12 and 12 in book study, 12 and 12 in big book study. But I liked going to that meeting because, and I don't know, I'm sure Mark has experienced this, when you go into a meeting and you have far and away the most time, and I know exactly where Katie's coming from, because I remember going into meetings and thinking, you know, here I am, I'm being of service, newcomers, I share, they get something out of it, great, you know, I get something out of it. But sometimes I want to go to meetings where I can hear from people that are in front of me. And
yeah.
One of the meetings, or a couple of the meetings that I go to every week, one's a speaker meeting, so occasionally we get people with more time, but when Mark was there, he had more time, but it's like I usually have the most time. And it's kind of like you're looking around, hey, where am I going to get mine? Now, fortunately, I get a lot of mine from the newcomer because they remind me how crappy it is out there. And I agree, too, with the thing with there's a meeting called the 7-Ups. You got to have 7 years or up to speak. Speaker meetings are usually a good place to go if you want to find time because mostly the speakers will have some time. And generally speaking, if it's a big meeting, there will be a number of other people with time in there. But it's not a speaker participation. So you're probably, you know, if you go to some speaker meetings, you'll probably get some of that. And I've found that people that are of the circuit speaker variety probably have pretty good messages and pretty good stories. That's why they're circuit speakers. Shelly's got a wee bit of a puzzled look on her face.
Sorry, not puzzled. To be honest, I was zoning out.
Oh, well, perfect. So what are your opinions on what Mark and I said? She's like, I was zoned out. I didn't listen.
What else is new?
No, I heard some of it.
Perfect. Just like our listeners.
I can agree with the sentiment that you want to hear from people ahead of you because there are an awful lot of times when I'm sitting in a meeting and it's just, you know, 30 days, 30 days, 30 days, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 30 days, 30 days, people sharing just over and over, and there's not a lot of recovery in it. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't share. I mean, you know, when you're new in recovery, it's like you suddenly get diarrhea of the mouth and you have to talk all the time because you're processing things. That's part of how we recover is we process.
You've still got meth in your system.
Right. But, you know, some of that should be, shared with your sponsor. You know,
don't puke all over the meeting.
Right.
How about the other part of what she asked? Do you think it's elitist? Is it elitist? Does it go against the traditions?
I think it only goes against the traditions if the meeting is specifically designed to exclude newcomers.
Now, what I was wondering about is what tradition would that
third, only requirement for membership.
Oh, yeah, okay, true. Because I was going to say, because, you know, our primary purpose
is to carry the message.
Is to carry the message.
Not the mess.
So it's not, yeah, so it's a third, yeah, because you couldn't exclude anyone from being, and you shouldn't be able to exclude anyone from being.
Well, you don't have to exclude anybody, but at the same time, you know, sit down, shut up, and listen is not a bad place to put a newcomer in a room.
That's true. I went a couple times to a meeting in Pasadena. It was called the Old Timers Group. I couldn't wait to get 20 years so I could talk because you have to have 20 years to share. And that doesn't exclude anyone from being there. Matter of fact, lots of newcomers go to that meeting because they hear people with a lot of time. Then I get 20 years, and they say, oh, you got to have 30 years. To be an old timer. I'm like, what the hell? That sucks.
That does suck.
Now, Mark, how many do you have?
Coming up on 28.
So, see, you still got 2 years before you could share at the old timers meeting. What the hell?
Care.
What the hell is that about?
I got over 30 if I count the first 12 years of my life where I didn't use anything. They're just not continuous.
Me too.
I got like 40 years of non-continuous sobriety.
Actually, yeah.
Actually, if you count all the times that I wasn't binging,
yeah,
I'd have like 42 years.
Yeah.
So I'd have more time than both of you.
If I count the time that I've stayed sober since the first time I went to a meeting, mm-hmm, I've got over 30.
Yeah.
Just not in a row. What is that? What's with this in a row thing? What the hell? In a row. So, Shelley, what is your final words?
I don't know. I see where she's coming from with the whole newcomers flooding in thing because, you know, rehab is the new black and everybody seems to want to recover from something.
Which is
okay.
But
I think that might be largely an AA thing because that's that's where the courts send them. You know, that's AA seems to be the dumping ground for, you know, every hopped up tweaker that ever walked the face of the planet and gets in front of a judge.
They can go to CA and NE.
Yeah, they could. I don't think there's anything wrong with setting guidelines for meetings that say that, you know, this is how we're going to run our meetings, provided that they're not exclusive. That's all. I mean, we have rules for everything else in the world.
What if it was a meeting where they said you have to have 20 years to speak, to share?
Can you still be a member of that group?
Yes.
Then there's not a violation of the traditions.
There you go.
Some people might think it's elitist, but at the same time, you have to understand that we have to cater for to our own needs as well. And the farther along you get in sobriety, sometimes for some people, the more dangerous it gets.
I went to a meeting the other day. The guy who came and led the meeting had 70 days. The least time in the room after that was 4 years. It was all meeting regulars. He was the only person who had never been there before. He shared for 35 minutes.
Oh, as the leader.
As the leader.
Was he supposed to?
He went a little over.
A little.
Yikes.
There were only 9 people in the meeting.
So you still all got to share.
It was great, yeah, because everybody shared the same thing. Thank you so much for sharing, because
shut
you make me
up.
Really grateful.
That I'm not a new
that
guy?
That I don't have to go through that anymore, and you remind me of all the crap I had to go through to get here. Thanks. You know? He did great. I mean, he didn't get nutty or crazy. He just went...
Over.
Over. But he went about 10 minutes over. Wasn't a big deal. But, you know, and he didn't get into these sensational stories like a lot of newcomers who want us to all know how big, bad, and ugly they were. He just shared how it was, and his life was pretty screwed when he was out there and growing up and the whole thing, and I was really glad he shared it all. I didn't lose interest. I didn't lose focus. I didn't want him to shut up. But he went long, but it reminded all of us, and I think there's a big value to that when we hear from the newcomers, so we know we don't have to, it's not worth going to do that again. You know, it's the
agreed.
They come back in the room with an ass full of arrows. You know, it's, you know, the Indians are still shooting live ammo out there. So, does it elitist to want to have a meeting where people with timeshare? No, but you know what? I don't like the people just jumping in and sharing. I was at a meeting in Arizona one time where they handed everybody a ticket when they walked in.
And they call numbers?
And they call numbers. And if your number gets called, you get to share.
Like bingo.
Yeah, and it was great because you don't know who's going to share. No favoritism. No order of things. No Mark and Bruce are going to wait till be the last two people to share.
Yeah, you know.
And then fight over it.
Well, he and I were sitting in a meeting. We always had to kind of time it because I didn't want to go after him. But I didn't want to go too early either.
I think my final words would be... I used to know this guy named Harvey, and Harvey had 54 years. And I used to look at Harvey and think, damn, he's got 54 years. And I used to think, who is he getting his fill from? And I'm pretty sure he was getting his fill from the newcomers, because everybody in the room was newer than him.
Yeah.
So he had to be getting it from them. Shelley.
Yes?
People are listening to the shoe.
I'm sorry.
The really big shoe.
However you're listening to it, that's great. But we'd really appreciate it if you would go to recovery101.net, click on one of the shows. If you're a member of Podomatic, you've been counted. Thank you very much. That helps us. If you're not, you can become a member of Podomatic. It's free.
And fun.
You can get automatic updates of when the shows post, which hopefully will pick up a little here soon. We've been a bit lax lately.
Ooh.
Just a few hours off. The truth is, last night I fell asleep in front of the computer. Woke up at 5 a.m. Drool coming out the side of my mouth.
Thank you for that visual. What else can you do? You can click like. You can then be asked to re-sign in again. Then you can post a comment and then sign back in again and
and follow
and follow
and
us.
Sign back in again.
And hopefully they've fixed that glitch. And you can also put us on playlist.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, went a little off there.
Yikes.
Bruce went around the bend.
What about our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat?
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription, prescription. And he will send them to you via the United States Postal Service, as he just did with us. If you're interested in putting a 12-Step Gazette in your little neck of the woods, contact Bruce, and he'll give you all the information you need to do so.
Turnkey, baby.
Yep.
We've got an email address that you can use at recovery101radio@gmail.com. That's where you want to send rants, raves, topic suggestions, and, of course, your Recovery Idol submission for a Recovery 101 jingle. You must mention Recovery 101 or Recovery 101 Radio in it.
If you mention Bruce, he'll play it for sure.
Yeah, well, we're going to play it for sure anyway. Every one of them we get in, we're going to play, and then depending how many you get, we'll pick one or two to go into the lineup, and that's that. We've also got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101 rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelley.
Yes.
Who's the lead out music by?
Well, I'm doing a special lead out music because Katie from UK,
Uck,
sent us a very nice letter about how basically wonderful we are.
We are.
You know, she doesn't know us very well.
Keep listening, Katie. You'll change.
Well, and the nice thing is that, you know, sometimes she turns on the show and falls asleep listening to us, which lets us know how exciting we are.
Yeah, we're damn
excited. Thanks for letting us know that, Katie.
But she just wanted to say thank you. So, and I thought it was a very sweet letter. Mm-hmm. So, in honor of Katie's sweet letter, we're going to listen to the Evangelitals sing So Sweet.
Awesome song. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
There's one thing that I love about him, is that there's so much about him to love. And when I say that I can't live without him, it's just that living without him wouldn't be living. Cause there's a way in which he brings me my sunshine, my blue skies and all my rainbows too. And in return I like to give him the weather, stars above and all my morning dew. On my face, when he disappears, and it seems there's something special about him. Though everybody's special in their own special way, but there's something about his kind of special. His kind of special really makes my day. Stole it from me. long as you got love for 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 me.